Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. It's the holiday season right now, and as Tony and I, we were discussing topics, we thought it'd be interesting just to talk about how Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and this whole holiday season has been going in terms of sales so far.
You said, and just before we started recording, you said you had a very stressful Black Friday. So I don't know anything about this because I have had family in town all week. I have been like, you know, keeping my head above water. So what happened?
So it started during Thanksgiving dinner.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And like during dinner, I'm eating. I just pick up my phone and I'm like, huh, Bumblebee Linens is like super slow. And then I look at the logs and there's like a whole bunch of machines attacking it. Just, you
know. The same as what was happening before?
Same as what was happening before, but worse.
Okay.
Because it was actually slowing down the site.
Okay.
And so I went and banned those IPs and everything went back to normal. I finished my Thanksgiving dinner.
What did you eat? I'm just curious. Can we tangent just a minute? I'm curious as what you eat for Thanksgiving, Mr. Healthy.
We eat what white people eat, you know, turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes.
And what's your favorite side?
See, it's the only time of year where I have a little bit of carbs. So I like potatoes au gratin
and that's good.
Mac and cheese. Jen bought this Cracker Barrel mac and cheese, which is pretty good.
That's good. That's a good brand. I like the We had homemade mac and cheese. My sister made it and it was delish.
Cranberry sauce, monkey brains, you know.
What are monkey brains?
I'm kidding.
Oh, I was like, of course, because I'm white, I think monkey brains is like a dessert for the kids made out of like gummy worms. But you're like, no, I'm Chinese. It's monkey brains. Like,
for dessert, my sister-in-law handmade two pies, a cranberry pie and an apple pie. They were incredible.
Okay.
And that was it.
I'm hungry. Yeah. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. I'm going to lunch.
Okay. I imagine so you had the same stuff, right? Okay. Anyway.
So similar. Yes. We had 35 people at my house. So.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
We did.
We can't fit 35 people in our house.
So. You can fit 35 in mine, especially because the weather was great. I have a big backyard, but we had every side that has ever been invented for Thanksgiving. It was very, very good. I almost didn't eat any turkey because we had so many delicious sides. So you were munching on the cranberry sauce and the site's getting hacked. You're freaking
out. Not hacked.
Out.
It's just getting
hit.
Attacked by bots and whatnot.
Yeah.
I banned those IPs. I have a process in place for that. So I just kind of just did it on my phone.
Yeah.
At dinner. And then it was all good. Then, you know how I kind of have problems sleeping at night sometimes and I wake up at 4 a.m.?
Yes.
You know, because I'm old. And I get up and I look and there's all these like fake orders coming in.
So they actually completed an order.
And it turns out that I guess during Thanksgiving was the probing mission. They probed to see what they could do with our site. And then I think it's just all these fake credit cards and they were just doing it. And I actually have a process in place for this because this happened like a long time ago, but I kind of half-assed the solution before. Like if your credit card gets banned X number of times, like you have to close the session.
Right.
Open another window and try again and go through the whole process. Well, apparently that wasn't enough. So I woke up at like 4 a.m. to like all these fake orders and they just kept coming in too. And people were just trying illegal credit card numbers. I imagine just to try to figure out if one of those numbers is legit and then go on and buy real stuff. Because all the order values were small. They were like $2, $2, $2, $2.
What do you sell that's $2?
A box.
Oh, okay.
A gift box.
So this, just so I'm clear on this, because this is something that I think we've talked about, maybe not on a podcast, but like, what's the purpose of these things? But what you're saying is the purpose is to hit the lottery with the credit card number and then go take that credit card to like Amazon and buy a big screen TV.
Yeah. And have it shipped.
Yeah.
You know how like in the past people used to use gas stations, but now you have to enter in the zip code?
Yes.
Same thing. Like these people are going around to stores. I actually checked the fuel forums and this happened to another person there too.
Interesting. Okay. So they're using your site as sort of the testing ground for credit card numbers.
Like a gas station, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I did is I finished dinner. I sprung up.
You sprung out of bed.
All this stuff always happens early in the morning. It always, I guess.
Well, because they think you're asleep, right? You're not. They're going to be able to do it for 2 hours before you notice.
Well, here's the thing, too. Like, your credit card processor can ban you for this, too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if they see that there's all this fraudulent activity, they'll cut you off, and then all of a sudden, I don't know how soon it happens, but PayPal.
Yeah.
This happened to me before.
Yeah.
And so you got to get it fixed. So I sprung up out of bed. And I had to change the code for checkout during the busiest time of the year, which was Black Friday.
That's terrible.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, so what I did was I traced them on IP and I started banning IPs automatically, you know, if they tried their credit card incorrectly. But I was so nervous because transactions are coming in.
Right.
And I'm like hot editing the code for the most important part of the website.
Mm-hmm. I'm having like chest pains just hearing this story.
No, it was very stressful and it was early in the morning too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then our refrigerator broke.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Just stopped cooling?
Yeah, just stopped cooling. And so we have all these leftovers that we had to finish eating and we had to cook everything. Never buy a Samsung fridge.
Oh, I could have told you that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I bought one a long time ago. I'll never buy one again.
The only problem with Samsung is it looks great. So Jen buys by aesthetics.
I will say Samsung makes the cool. I had a Samsung washer and dryer for a while. Worst washer and dryer I've ever had. I had a Samsung fridge. Worst fridge I've ever had. Yeah. Don't buy Samsung.
Yeah.
Buy the LG. Buy the KitchenAid.
We got a Frigidaire.
I was like, get the Frigidaire. That's a good one. I have Frigidaire ovens.
I mean, there's this fridge I have in the garage that's been humming for at least 25 years.
Yeah, it's probably a GE white fridge. So do I.
It is. It's a white fridge, yes.
Yeah. That thing could be submerged in a flood and it would still be humming when the waters receded.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jen doesn't like the bright white fridge look. So
nobody likes the bright white fridge look.
But it worked. I just want it to work.
I agree with you. I agree. And big enough to put a leftover pizza box, because that's what we seem to put a lot of in our fridge, our pizza boxes. So anyway, so your fridge broke. So this is going swimmingly.
Okay. And then, you know, we released our new line of printed.
I was going to ask you about this. Yes.
So, you know, we're smart. We decided to launch a brand new product line just before Black Friday, before we have like a full process in place. This is like Tony 101, right?
This is Tony marketing.
Yeah. So it turns out like we've already talked about this. I wrote software to arrange the images and everything. And
so that you could not even cut them out of the paper.
It was completely automated. For those of you listening, don't know what I'm talking about. So we got this printer and it allows you to print on anything that you want, anything made out of fabric. And you print the thing on the film and then you have to iron it on the actual garment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's all these different images that we offer. And since I'm cheap, like you want to fit as much on the film as possible. It's like saving paper. Think of film like really expensive paper. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm the only one who knows how to use the machine. Mm-hmm. And I have other responsibilities to do other things. So
Ultimate
I've been going.
Frisbee.
Well, tennis. No, we haven't been playing. Skip this week.
Volleyball.
Anyway, that's not the problem. The problem is we didn't have the printing process was okay. Like I could go in and fix that. But the actual pressing and stuff, we weren't used to the process yet. Mm-hmm. So we actually didn't have. So one, the fumes turns out are not healthy for you. So we had to buy a hood and then it burns the fabric sometimes if you press it too long.
Yes.
So, you know, there's all these like little nuances that you wouldn't know about until you actually start doing it. And it just so happens we had to learn on the fly quickly and we ruined a lot of linens figuring all this out.
Good thing the linens are dirt cheap.
The linens are dirt cheap and we just use them around the house. You know, they say Merry Christmas.
You're drying your tears of the broken fridge on the happy Thanksgiving towel. Now, here was my question. I was going to ask you this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about this, because you told me that you made this, you set this computer program to fit like as many images on a sheet as possible. right? And then they were too close together, so you couldn't cut them, so you had to adjust. So, you know, so in my mind, you have this film sheet that has, like, let's just say 10 images, but, like, one of them says Merry Christmas, one of them says Happy Hanukkah, one says Happy New Year, whatever. But, like, when someone places an order, you're only needing, like, the Merry Christmas one. So, like, what is, how does it work that, like, or you're just waiting until you have enough orders and then you print out a sheet with all the different things on them?
Oh, do you really want to know?
I do, because I was actually thinking about this before, and it's actually bothered me for the past couple of weeks. Yes, because the efficiency didn't make sense.
So the way it works is we only run this thing once per day.
Okay.
Right? So, and we say it's going to take 3 to 5 days to process.
Okay. So you do add the extra time on for the orders.
So if you're really curious, I have this folder of just all of our designs, and they're all named template plus the model number.
Yeah.
And then the program, what it does on the website, it grabs all the orders, just specifically looking for those print ones. And then it writes code. It's code that writes code.
Okay.
And then the code, you know, opens all the template files based on the orders that came in, and then it creates them, puts them all in a directory. And these are Photoshop files. Mm-hmm. And then someone can go in and manually adjust them. Like, you can look at them all on the screen, and you can do some manual adjustments. And then there's another script that actually does the piecing together.
Okay.
In an optimal way. And I told you before, it was too optimal before.
Yes.
Someone had to take a pair of scissors and cut them out. Yeah. Not good, right? Ideally, you want like a blade, a cut, just straight cuts to do all of it. So I adjusted that. And like I said, that was the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
The not so fun part is the actual pressing on and realizing that some fabric can burn.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring out what the timing is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't give you like a chart, like if the fabric is 60% cotton, it's 6 minutes, or it doesn't tell you anything like that.
Nothing online said anything. Okay. Yeah, and the way we discovered this was we pressed a bunch, and it doesn't look burned, just to be clear.
Yeah. It just has that, like, singed smell.
Does that look a little ivory to you or yellow? I'm like, yeah, it kind of does. And then we realized it was like kind of charring the fabric ever so lightly and changing the color.
So now you have an ivory line.
So now we have
a discounted ivory line of Merry Christmas hand towels.
Since we ruined so many, the first option actually was to just press the other half
of
the towel and make it uniform.
Yeah.
And you can't really tell unless you're looking at side by side.
Yeah. So if you don't have another white towel, the ivory probably looks white.
You can't really tell. Yeah.
Get pressing the other side.
But just in case someone bought multiple or whatever, or they bought, you know, it's just easier. It's not that expensive.
Now you have gifts for your whole family.
We do, except some of them have names on it.
If you send me a Happy Christmas Edith towel, you're in trouble.
So, you know, now that I'm talking about it, it actually doesn't sound like a lot, but it was just very stressful.
It sounded like jolly good fun now that you're talking about it.
And I think these people do this purposely over Thanksgiving. The hacks are still coming in, but they've died down because I think they know that I have safety measures in place now.
Well, and I think it's also probably most people do have a bump in sales during that time period. So if you have a bunch of sales overnight, it's probably not going to be something you notice right away. If you like, it could slide a little bit longer because there's more volume overall.
But I was just thinking about this. If you're on like your own online store,
mm-hmm.
it's not like this is taken care of for you.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like if you're on BigCommerce, or I'm not sure if Shopify Payments would detect this. I actually don't know the answer, but
Shopify does detect fraud. It gives you a warning with orders.
Like if someone's tried a whole bunch of credit cards from different IPs, it'll tell you.
I see in Shopify that there are fraud, like potential fraud alerts. So I'm assuming it probably does something. Now, I don't know, like, I've never gone, because it's not my account, so I've never, I don't know what the process is after that happens. If it's like they're just telling you out of the goodness of your heart and you're on your own, or if, you know, it goes further. But it definitely prevents you from just shipping it.
Well, here's the worst part. Okay. These are people checking out. So all these email addresses are being sent to Klaviyo.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
So imagine thousands of checkouts happening on your site with bogus emails getting sent to Klaviyo, or they're getting pixeled. I don't know what's happening. So
yeah. So you, I mean, like just practically speaking, you could export that from Shopify if you had Shopify, or you could export it from your service and then just import it into Klaviyo and suppress those PLR files or delete them.
Yes.
It's a pain, but.
Yes, it's a pain. And the problem also is like I was just so quick to refund and delete all these people.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't, you know, I didn't keep track of it. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
I know this can happen to any cart. The question is whether Shopify, since they control their Shopify payments, whether this can happen. But I know it happens on Stripe. Anyone using Stripe, this can happen. I just hate scammers. I mean, if only they use their powers for good, like writing these scripts to automatically try these credit card numbers. I mean, it takes engineering, right? Yeah. Why not spend that energy and actually do something productive?
You know what I think about when I think about scammers like this that do stuff like that? It reminds me of like the old, not old timey. This is where I'm dating myself. Like the movies where it's like the evil genius in the lab, right? And it's like, mwahaha, and he's like mixing chemicals and like, you know, it's like, well, if you're so smart to like make all this stuff, cure cancer, dude, you know, but it, like, that's what it reminds me of that, you know how to do this, do something, make a software product that probably make you way more money.
I mean, it's pretty sophisticated. They had this huge bank of IP addresses.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up banning hundreds and hundreds of, of IPs. So anyway, how was your Black Friday?
Thanks for asking. let's see. I was a little under the weather last week. Nothing serious. Just not quite feeling up to par. I think it was just like more like getting worn out from everything. But sales wise, we tried a new strategy this year where we started Black Friday the Thursday before Thanksgiving. So 1 week before Thanksgiving, we started the Black Friday sale. And we offered, so usually the discount is 20% off the whole store, 30% off if you spend over $100. That's what we've done the last couple of years.
That's a pretty generous discount, actually.
Yes. The margins can withstand it. Last year's Black Friday was meh, just did not perform. Actually, I think it did exactly the same as the year before, so no growth. So my client was interested in trying some new things in order to like hopefully improve sales year over year. So the first, and she uses an app, and I unfortunately do not remember the name of it, but basically if you run a sale and the discount is automatic, it will show the regular price and the sale price on the listing. Like kind of like Amazon does where it's like regularly crossed out $15.97, you know, lightning deal, whatever Amazon does. So does the same thing. We used this earlier in the year on a 1 day sale and it was, she had like a 6-figure day. Best day she's ever had. And I do think that the price anchoring, the seeing the discount, not having to do the math, right? Like if you're asking people to do 20%, they can't do the math in their head, right? So it's like if you present them with the original price, you present them with the sale price, it's just more compelling if the discount's good. Unfortunately, the only way to use that app is to have the discount be the same across the board. You can't, because obviously like the 20% is 20% under 100, but 30%. So like the price, you know what I mean? So it glitches out. Like you can't use it with the tiered discount. So we decided to do 3 days of 30% and then the rest of the week, like up until, you know, the Saturday after Black Friday at the 20%. I was very nervous because 20% is not a good discount for her. Like every time she launches a product, she puts it at more than 20% off. Like 20% is not a number that I think gets people excited in her world, right? I think Lululemon runs 20%. Heck yeah, right? Companies that never discount, 20% is very compelling. But for companies that discount regularly, 20% is not compelling. And then on top of that, we wanted to do like an early bird discount, you know, email campaign sort of thing. So we offered people that first Thursday an additional 5%. So it'd be 35%, which is a huge, she never has offered 35%, except for on clearance items. And so 35% site-wide, one day only. And so that was a banner day, basically. One of the best days her store's ever had. It only went to people who signed up on the email list and then previous customers. Because obviously those are people more likely to buy. So 35% blew it out of the park. Great day. 30% those 2 days did very, very well. I was right as soon as we went to the 20. You know, year over year sales were significantly lower almost every day or the same. Like we didn't beat any days on the 20% days, but I was like, you know, we're also, you know, not giving a 30% discount. Right. So like the profits are a little bit better. And what surprised me is I thought with not having that $100 tier, right, of like forcing people to spend $100 that our AOV would go down, and it really didn't. And I think part of that was because those first couple of days with the 30%, people bought a lot because the discount was so good. So even though there was no minimums, they still filled their carts because they were excited about the discount.
I think that, yeah, that's what happens with discounts, right? People go in with a dollar amount in mind and they just spend up to it.
Yeah. So the other thing I was worried about was that, you know, since 20% is not super compelling, you know, we're going to run 20% for almost a full week, right? It's like, how do you get people excited about that? How do you continue to drum up the interest? So I used several different tactics. I used the low stock tactic, right? Where one of the days, and it was items that were lower in inventory than other items. So like, it wasn't a lie. It was the lower stock items in the store.
What's considered low stock?
For her, it would be things that like, so she sells things in levels. So there's like one book, but it comes in five levels. So like one level is lower than all the other levels, right?
I see.
So there might be 3,000 units of, you know, the junior level, but only 900 of youth, right? So then youth would be considered low stock because people tend to buy a level for each kid.
That's a lot of units right there. These are books, right?
Yes, books.
Like physical books.
Yeah, workbooks, yeah.
Right.
So we used low stock. We used the reminding people to use their rewards points. So she offers a rewards program. And you know, she uses the Smile app for Shopify. If you guys use Shopify, you're probably familiar with that one. It allows you to put people's point total in the email dynamically. So, you know, we like top of the email, like, don't forget to use your 700 points today in the store. Right. So kind of reminding them like, hey, you can kind of combine your discounts right now. So that worked pretty well. The best thing that worked was she has two Christmas products out right now, Christmas workbooks. And so we pushed really hard at the beginning of the week, like, hey, if they hadn't purchased those products before, that segment of people, the non-purchasers, got the, hey, there's still time to order this and get it before December 1st. Because the workbook takes you from like December 1st to Christmas Day.
Right.
So that one was actually probably one of the most successful 20% offerings, right? Because if people missed because we've been promoting the Christmas stuff obviously a lot throughout the last 2 months, but it was kind of like, hey, this is it. Like, if you want to do this, if you want to start December 1st, like today's the day to order it. That was probably the most successful. And then to mix it up and to try to fight through the noise of actual Black Friday, because I mean, I don't know about you, but like my inbox was just, I wasn't feeling great on Black Friday evening. And I literally sat in my bed with my laptop and unsubscribed from like 10,000 emails.
10,000 emails?
It was insane. Like my inbox had not my work one, but my personal email that I just used for like signing up for stuff had 12,000 emails in it on Friday. And now it has like 800.
Wow. And you like inbox zero, right? Still? Are you still an inbox zero type of gal?
I am for work. My personal email, I've never cared because I've always used it to like, oh, sign up and get 10% off. Sure, whatever. I'll do it. But then I was like, I'm never shopping at this place again. I shopped one time because my nephew wanted a gift from this obscure record shop. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't need to be on their email list. They don't need to be paying for me. And so anyway, I sat there on Friday night and just unsubscribe. And then I also like read copy because I was like, who's doing a good job with email? So, but like based on the number of emails I had in my inbox on Black Friday, I was like, how do we fight through that noise on Black Friday to get people's attention? So on Friday, on Black Friday, I heavily segmented the email list and I made four groups of people, people who bought during Black Friday. So people who made a purchase during the last, 7 days or whatever it was. People who had made a purchase at some point but had not purchased during Black Friday. So they are customers but no Black Friday purchase. People who had never made a purchase but had opened a significant number of emails. And I think that I put that they had opened at least three emails because we send a lot of emails. So they had opened at least three emails in the last 45 days and at least clicked on one. So, these are like engaged people, but they haven't made that purchase decision and they've been on the list for a couple of months at least. And then the last group of people were the completely disengaged, had been receiving emails for at least 6 months and hadn't opened a single one. So those were my four buckets. So for the people who shopped during Black Friday, but only during like the 30% days, I sent them a Black Friday email that said, hey, do you still need to get things on your list? Here's an extra 10% off to put them back at the 30. So it's like, hey, so they're not going to get the 35 because that's too good of a discount, right? And those people already bought. So, but they're also, I excluded those 20% people so they didn't get angry. So those people got an extra 10%. And actually, let me pull up, I'll pull up those stats so we can see how well it did because it was still.
You know what ends up happening with our store?
What?
Our coupon codes get posted on like Retail Me Not and
so Noji. You know with Klaviyo you can use those dynamic codes so they only work one time.
Oh, are you using dynamic codes?
For some of the emails I did, not all of them.
I see.
But yes, see. I use ours expire only like so here's the thing though. I don't care if someone comes in that one day because all the coupons expired on Saturday.
Oh, these are 1 day coupons or
yeah. So it's the Black Friday purchasers was like, hey, if you bought and you still have stuff to buy, here's another 10%. So they took them back to the 30. For the people who were completely disengaged, had not opened an email for 6 months, they got a buy one, get one free, which we never offer. So they got basically 50% off one product, 1 day only. For the engaged but never purchased people, they got an additional 15% off. It bumped them back up to 35, right?
Wow.
But these are people that have never made a purchase from us, right? So it's like we need these people to make a decision or we're going to kick them off the list, right?
Right.
So they got the 15%. And then the people that had made a purchase at some point but not during Black Friday, I really want to build the SMS list. And we've really struggled with that. So they got a coupon for an additional 15% off, but they had to text us to get it.
Nice.
So yeah, so that was the four buckets. So let me just pull up. We can get a little statistics on this and see how it did. So for the people who, and I don't have the exact numbers of how many people are on each of this list because that's too hard to pull up right now. But for people who have never purchased, but were engaged, we converted, about 1% of the people on the list to make a purchase. So I'm like, I'm happy.
That's
with
really
that.
High actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So 1% of the people made a purchase. So yay.
Right.
The one that did the worst actually was the people who had already made a Black Friday purchase.
Oh,
we only converted 6 people out of like several thousand. Huh. But, part of me is like, you know what? They probably already bought a ton of stuff on that 35% day. The fact that we converted a couple of them, whatever. Who cares? Good for us.
Yeah, free money.
Free money. Exactly. The group that did the best, not surprisingly, was the previous purchase but not purchased during Black Friday. That email/text sequence did about 20 grand. Mm-hmm. So like to me, that was the biggest win because we gained several hundred people on SMS that are engaged people that weren't on SMS. So these are previous purchasers that weren't on SMS before. So they're way more likely to convert on SMS in the future, because they've already made a purchase. And so that was the one I was probably the most happy with. Now that campaign would have done probably triple that had I just offered them the coupon straight up and not made them text. Because our group is very text averse.
Yeah.
And then the group of people who had were like completely disengaged, you know, we made about $1,000 off those people. So I'm like, I mean, how many people converted on that? 16 people. So it's like 16 people who were literally about to get off the map have now moved over, which is a very small number. But to me, it's like, you know, it's better to have something than nothing.
Yeah. Our Black Friday is much less sophisticated.
You're like 10% off site-wide.
Well, it's basically 15%, which is literally the largest, because we don't run sales typically. And then Cyber Monday, we do 10. And then we're right now doing our 12 days of Christmas.
Yes.
But I think I'm going to do some bigger discounts just in our printed category.
Yeah.
Just to jumpstart. We hadn't launched a new product line in a long time. It's actually a pain in the butt. I forgot.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like unlimited products from here on out, because any design we can put on anything now, which is nice.
I mean, I think overall for you, it's going to be really good once it's all the kinks are worked out.
It's so much lower effort than embroidery.
Yes, exactly.
Like so much less effort.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I think overall, like her year over year for Black Friday was up 50%.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm curious what the profit margins look like year over year.
Probably still pretty good, because last year a lot of people got that 30% discount because they were doing $100, right? Like to get there. Email attributed to probably 60% of that.
I believe it.
Yeah.
It's always email and SMS over the hall. Are you doing the SMS also?
Yeah, I am.
I'm curious. Are you staggering the sends?
Yes.
So email and then SMS the next day or something like that?
So I don't do as many SMS. So I think during Black Friday, we sent 3 total. And so like on Black Friday, we sent a Black Friday email in the morning, like 6 a.m. At 3 o'clock, we sent an SMS that was like, hey, don't forget to check your email. The deals are amazing. Because on SMS, I didn't segment people into those buckets like I did. So it's basically like anybody on SMS like was like, hey, anyone on SMS is on email, basically. So it's like, get your email discount, because we had the different discounts running. So I couldn't say you can use this or that. We do use a lot of dynamic codes, though, so that they can't be posted. And all of the coupon codes did expire by like middle of the day on Saturday. The other thing I did was on Saturday, I was like, hey, in case you had trouble using your coupon, we've extended another 12 hours, which I had always planned on doing anyway.
So this year we're trying something different with SMS. Previously, we actually didn't text out the 12 days of Christmas items. Mm-hmm. This year, I'm thinking about sending texts more often and just saying, hey, this is the mystery product that's 30% off. And don't even tell them what it is. In the past, we told them what it was.
So I like that tactic. It flops with this audience. It works well with other audiences.
Oh, why does it flop with your audience?
I think they just are like, I don't trust you. I'm not clicking. They're very, very distrustful.
Oh yeah. I know the crowd. Yeah, yes. Of course. Yes.
Yeah. So I think I think the surprise thing, cause I tried that last year and we actually had, it was such a waste of effort, not a waste. It like was really good, but like we had these GIFs or GIFs, whatever you say it. That would like these boxes would appear and disappear and like sort of reveal the product. You know, it was like a very much like a Price is Right, you know.
Oh, sort of thing. Yeah.
You know, we had all those made for the 12 days of Christmas and like just bombed. People are like, show me the money or I'm not clicking. Like,
really interesting.
Yeah.
That's a lot of effort too. You created GIFs for
the designer did. So like, I felt bad because it was a ton of work hours for something that didn't. And then, but that's when I realized like her people need to be told, like they need to know this is what you're clicking on. But I think for a lot of people that surprise is like a very, very smart move. So I think it'll do well. We are not doing the 12 days of Christmas this year.
Oh,
probably because of my massive mystery box fail last year. instead of doing the 12 days, we are doing 4 flash sales over the 12 days. So like December 1st, December 4th, December 8th, whatever. Like, you know, mainly because we went through and looked at the things that performed, the things that didn't perform, the amount of like manpower hours and things like that. And it just wasn't, you know, the math didn't work out. And So anyway, we're just doing 4 flash sales of very, very popular products. So I think that the revenue will probably be the same, better, who knows? We'll see. Less work.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about our 12 Days of Christmas sale is we're like getting rid of a lot of junk that's not selling.
Yeah, that's what we were, The problem is a lot of the stuff that my client needs to get rid of that's not selling is not stuff people will buy at Christmas.
Oh, I see.
It's like stuff that's more of like they're going to buy it in like May.
Yeah, because people always buy other things.
Yes, they do. Once they get on there.
Once they get on. Yeah.
So, but yeah, overall, I'm happy with how Black Friday. And then, just moving over to the digital side, we sold Seller Summit passes during Black Friday. We discounted the courses. We offered a consult.
No, we discounted them also.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah. And there was a 2-course bundle. Mm-hmm. That actually did surprisingly well.
Yeah.
At least on the profitable online store side. And yeah, I'm always surprised what a little sense of urgency will do.
Yeah, me too. I always, I mean, I'm never upset about it. It's always good. But yeah, it's the digital, I don't know. I think digital stuff always sells. I mean, I specifically was waiting for Black Friday to buy a couple of things.
Yeah. Same here. So actually the lead up to Black Friday was a little better for our store also. People were buying, even though, they probably knew a sale was coming on Black Friday or Cyber Monday.
So I was actually thinking about this the other day because I was like, usually this, since we start our sale a week before Black Friday, but the couple days leading up to that are usually pretty low. But we still get sales. I mean, and we still get a significant amount of sales. It's not like, 2 products. And I was thinking, who's buying when you know that everybody has stuff on sale? But then as I'm thinking that, I get a package delivered from Old Navy, which I bought like 2 weeks ago, which was like well before Black Friday. I was like, oh, me. I'm the person that will buy before Black Friday because I needed a couple of things. And I was like, I'm not waiting till Black Friday. Like, I don't want to wait to buy.
But what about like the weeks leading up to Black Friday, like Tuesday and Wednesday?
Yeah, Monday. I don't know about that. Like, I bought like a week and a half before Black Friday because I was like, I don't want to wait. Because the problem is too, and I've even noticed this with Amazon, like 2-day shipping's out the window right now. You're waiting 3 to 4 days to get your products where I am. And I live in an area that we get stuff delivered on the same day all the time. It's not like I'm in the sticks. But like Amazon is like, you can get this December 4th. And I'm like, what? It's Prime. Like, I want it tomorrow. And so I think that was part of my thing. I was like, I know if I buy something on Black Friday, I'm not getting it till like December 11th.
Interesting.
Because I'm not going to pay for overnight shipping from Old Navy, right? I'm going to take whatever the best free option for shipping is. And I was like, I needed a couple things. And I was like, I just don't want to wait. And will it probably be another, better deal on Black Friday? Sure, but it's not worth it.
Oh, I will say this. You know how we hired the customer service rep?
Yes. Did she quit Lifesaver. Black Friday?
Lifesaver. Like, okay. I didn't actually have to answer any calls this Black Friday, which was a huge, huge bonus.
Usually you're like got the headset on and you're...
Usually I got the headset and it's been like the best hire ever.
Nice.
But that being said, I can't wait till the holiday season's over. The kids are always like, hey, daddy, why are you working? I'm like, because this is our busiest time of year where we actually make a lot of money. Yeah. But I don't like it. I actually don't like this aspect of e-commerce personally.
I don't either. But you know what? In blogging, it was just as bad like back in the day because you're always trying to find, like you want to get people to Amazon on Black Friday if you're a blogger, right? And earn that commission. And it's like, I used to sit like glued to my computer on Black Friday. I mean, I did this, I had just regular work to do on Friday and, stuff to check. And I always get nervous when I heavily segment things that like I screwed up the segment, like I hit the wrong. Cause it's so much of it is if this, then that and things like that. So, and then we always resend at the end of the day. And so it's like, I want to like quadruple check who I'm sending things to. And it just, I get, for some reason that gives me a lot of anxiety because I don't want to mess up. It's like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Someone gets a little bit of a better discount, whatever.
Yeah. That's the way I think about email. Since it's like free to send, essentially.
Yeah.
SMS, I'm different. Like, I double and triple check everything because it's a penny a person.
Yes. And I did experiment a little bit with SMS with using like images and GIFs in the SMS, even though it's like triples the cost.
Yeah.
And not surprisingly, the one with the image, you know, the images one performed significantly better.
Really? Probably, you know, what's funny is I had the founders of PostScript on the podcast and I specifically asked about that.
Yeah.
I was like, is it worth it to, you know, pay triple the price for an image? And he says across his, you know, his clients,
yeah,
it's not.
I would say I would agree with that, except for like, once again, I have a very superstitious, suspicious audience that I'm messaging, right? So the fact that there's a picture that appears, I think legitimizes it a little bit more.
I see. Interesting.
Because for me personally, a picture doesn't make a difference. Like if Chipotle's sending me free guac, I don't need a picture of the free guac. Like I'll just click. But for this group of people, they don't like the surprise. They don't like to click to find out. Like, I don't even think they like, I think I did one time I tried, I have to look back on what I've tried so many different things. Like, you know, almost like a spin it to win it, but an email, like click to see what your discount is, you know? And they were like, no, we're not.
Yeah. Once you have their email, I probably wouldn't make them spin anything, but it does sound fun, I guess.
Well, it was more to just improve click through and open. Like, now what I will say is one thing that has helped with opens and just getting more engagement is your exclusive surprises inside. As long as I tell them what it is inside the email, they're very happy. It's the whole, like, also click through that gets people a little bit irritated with me. So,
yeah. Yeah. But all in all, actually, this holiday season is looking pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, you know, I'm always worried.
You've always been, you've been down on this year since the beginning of the year. You've been stressing me out.
Well, I've just been negative recently because I just see what's going on in the economy.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess people are still spending away, which I guess is a good thing.
I mean, you can't base all your fears on the Warriors season. Okay.
Oh, ouch. I guess we'll end it like
that.
I saw
that game last night, right? I know.
Terrible.
I know. You've been stressed about the year, but I think overall, I think I've seen great results for Black Friday from several of my clients. I think the biggest lesson that I'm always reminded of is like, you just have to continue to communicate with people. You have to continue to remind them the products that you have, even if you're not offering a discount. Let them know what's in your store. Let them know the courses you're offering, the bonuses that you have, the opportunities they have, maybe the lessons they haven't completed, whatever it is, the more you communicate with them. I just don't think you can over communicate. And if you communicate with them a lot through the year, they're actually probably more likely to open your Black Friday stuff.
Yeah. And I actually can't wait to incorporate all the printed stuff that we're selling into our autoresponder sequences post-purchase and cross-sell the heck out of these things. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.